Good evening.
Good evening. My name's Jens.
Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. I'm stuck on unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the sticking point? I feel like I'm swimming and there's like a reef. I can see the beach of unconditional love, but I can't get there. And I thought the way to describe it to you was to be much more concrete about in my own life where
thank you
where it seems so far away.
Okay.
In the abstract, I can think of my wife and feel intense longing, a desire to embrace her fears, to embrace everything she is, to just be a space to give to her,
That's very nice and very sweet, but nothing to do with unconditional love.
Okay.
Well, very nice and very sweet, though.
So what happens is in the real world, when we are together and
what was that you just described to me? Phony thing you made up?
Apparently, because even that doesn't happen very often.
Okay.
It's because I'm, instead, I go into a reactive place of being challenged,
Sure you do.
So,
yeah.
I'm way out. I'm out in the breakers now, it sounds like. I'm not even in the flat waters.
Yeah.
It's nice to know. Let's
surfer.
Talk about kids then. Maybe I'm a little closer with my kids. I can't tell. So, I have small kids, and when I, there are times that I can feel completely ready to give whatever I can to them until they annoy me, of course. And then I don't want to give anything. Yeah. Then I just shut up, And then I had this one moment last week, and I wondered whether this was even a smidgen of unconditional love. We had gone to a festival, and we were trying to get the kids back in the car, and it's a busy road, and my spacehead 4-year-old son starts wandering out into the street. He's taking a step over the line, and I catch him out of the corner of my eye, and I say in my most fearsome paternal voice, "Jonah!" Mm-hmm. And he freezes, and he steps back, and we avert disaster. And I shuffle him into the car, and he's mortified and breaks down in tears because, he's been scared shitless, I guess. But it was just a spontaneous, eruption for me to deal with that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's it. I don't know. So here I am looking for unconditional love. And as far as I know, I've never been unconditional love.
Yeah. Well, me's don't do unconditional love.
Mm.
It's not like your me's defective.
There's no recall. I can't do a recall somewhere.
You could get another one, but it's not going to be an unconditionally loving one. Right? It's looking in the wrong place.
It's looking in the wrong place.
Yeah. So I can't tell you how to be unconditionally loving, because, to me, it has nothing to do with the personal ways in which we imagine it's going to be. That's all that we personalize unconditional love, right? And it's unconditional love by its very nature. It's not a personal thing at all. As I said earlier, it can't be described, but it's much more like a total acceptance of what is. And of course, the unfortunate thing about that phrase is that doesn't mean what people's minds think it means. Mm. People's minds think, now I'm going to go around and unconditionally accept everything.
Mm.
And so if my kid's walking out into the street in front of a car, I'm going to unconditionally not say anything because I've already accepted the fact that he's walking out in the street. That would be, of course, anybody in this room knows that would be a horrendous misinterpretation. But so even the phrases I use, those will be misinterpreted too. It's not a personal thing, unconditional love. Existence is unconditional love. That's what this is. See? You are swimming in unconditional love. It's not a personal thing. It doesn't belong to you as a person. It belongs to existence as existence, right? Have you noticed existence has allowed you as a person to be exactly as you as a person are? It's even allowed you to resist being the person you are. Unconditional love means there is nothing in existence which could be trying to get you to be other than you are. It doesn't have a resistance switch in it. It's just not there. That's what unconditional love is. It belongs to existence. It's not a personal thing. So as long as you're trying to act unconditionally loving, it's a very noble thing. And of course, the human being can be much more in correspondence with it, much more a vessel through which it operates. But to look there for it is to look in the wrong direction. It's to place a demand on yourself which will only take you away from it. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
Just start to notice everything. Your whole life has been lived in unconditional love from the point of view of existence. Have you ever noticed existence coming and tugging on your ear in the middle of the night and going, "You're wrong. You're horrible. You're nasty. You're terrible. You're a mistake. You shouldn't have. You see what I mean? It's only in mind, your mind or somebody else's mind. That's where all that nonsense is. That's not in existence. You've been swimming in unconditional. The problem that a me has is not that it doesn't have unconditional love, is that there is only unconditional love. That's the problem that egos have. So the problem that an ego has is with unconditional love. Because that's what existence is. And an ego is in constant opposition to existence as it is it not?
Yep, likes to muck things up.
What's that?
Likes to muck things
up. It likes to muck things up, right. Right. And existence has no choice. It's just unconditionally what it is. Even if your mind is trying to muck things up, it's unconditionally letting it do that too. That's what unconditional means. It doesn't mean it's a choice to be unconditional loving or not. Existence, there isn't a choice. It's its nature. It's like a rock doesn't have a choice to turn into water, does it? It's just a rock. It's just going to be hard. Existence is unconditional love. That's its nature. So this is a totally inadequate question or answer. The question's not inadequate. The answer is totally inadequate on a personal level. I totally understand that. Because it doesn't tell you how to be unconditionally loving. If you want to really approach it, I would suggest the really only way to discover the depth of this in yourself is to realize yourself for yourself. Realize yourself for yourself. Realize what you are, and then you might find this question of unconditional love, or this yearning for unconditional love, may reveal itself to you in the only way that existence really can. It comes as a package deal, right? Realize your nature. But first, stop fighting with the conditioned nature. See, that's, as long as we're fighting with the conditioned nature, it's very hard to see the unconditioned. And that's a big step, isn't it? Even for a moment.
Definitely.
You see? So I don't even know like what it would mean to love yourself. I know that's not what you're asking necessarily. But people will ask me, I don't know what love yourself means. I have no notion of loving myself. Because there's nothing separate there to love. The whole notion is totally foreign to me. But what could it possibly mean to love yourself? I don't know. I know what it can mean to not love yourself. I remember that in the past. But to love yourself? What? Your idea of yourself? That's the same thing you don't like. We love and hate the image of ourselves alternately. Right? We like it, and then, you know, we yell at your kids, and then you don't like your image of yourself. And then the sun is warm, and everything's right, and you open, and you're, I love myself. I'm a great guy. But you see, what you are, you see, it's just beyond that. So, accept the conditioned nature, not just for the sake of accepting it, not just so you sit there and wallow in it for the rest of your life. You don't accept it for that reason, as like an excuse, but you accept it so that your consciousness can move on. It's hard for it to move on when you're struggling with it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just keep this alive, but don't imagine that it's quite as personal or the way that we have it hooked up, because we're taught what conditional love is, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, you just...
Definitely.
Yeah, anybody can do anything, and you're nice, and you're smiling, you always have a... You know, you're always a good person, and you're always... You know, you never flip anybody off on the freeway, and you, you know, you never get upset no matter what, and, you know, all the, we're taught these notions of it, but of course these notions, these are what the ego wants it to be. So like everything that has to do with the truth about anything, the first thing you got to do is wipe the slate clean of everything you've been taught it is. Because what can egos know what's beyond egos? They can imagine. It's like you and I, we can look at the moon and go, boy, I wonder what it would like to be up there. I bet it would be like this. I bet it would feel like this. I bet the ground would feel like this. I bet the atmosphere would be like this. I bet it would be this way. But the truth is, do we have any idea whatsoever before we're actually there? Can we possibly have any idea whatsoever? Can we actually know the feel of the ground without being there? See? We can't know. We can conjecture, but we can't. There's an impassable divide between here and there. Either you're here or you're there. And if you're here, you can't. Imagining what's there, all your imagination is based on where? Here.
Yeah.
It's not based on there. So you imagine what unconditional love is, and you try to be unconditional loving, but all that is based on what you're taught it's like, right? It's like trying to pretend like what it's like to be on the moon. So first thing is, wait a minute, do I even know what unconditional love is? I have images of it. I have ideas. I have the kind of person I may like to be at certain moments with my wife, with my children. That's great. Be as kind as you can. Be as kind as you're inclined to be. But also see, actually, I don't know what it is. And then you see you're innocent again, right?
You're not knowing.
You're not knowing. And all the true knowing comes from, you have to allow yourself not to know. You get the feel? I had, very early on when I started teaching, there was this wonderful man that had been born and raised in Japan, and he'd come here quite a few years ago. I forget exactly how long he'd been married, 30 years or 40 years, something like that. And one day people were talking about love, you know, very small groups. I mean, at that time there was like between 6 and 12 people that would come to see me. And so we'd sit around talking about things a little more. It wasn't quite as formalized. And people were, you know, they're spouting off about love, which was nauseating, but yeah, that's okay. And right in the middle of this thing of people, you know, talking about love, and it was interesting because everybody was very certain they knew what love was. They were telling each other what love was. And this wonderful Japanese gentleman, he just very quietly, he just sort of put his hand up a little bit and he said, you know, where I was born, when we get married, we don't assume we know what love is. Where I come from, he said, we see our marriage as the goal of our marriage is maybe we can discover what love is before we die. And then he told this wonderful story. He said, you know, he said, when I first got married, he said, you know, there was things about my wife that I wanted to change and certain things I liked and other things that disturbed me. And I was subtly trying to alter certain parts of her. And he says, you know, and then I started to stop do that. And he says, and then he got this big, gleeful, beautiful smile. And he said, and it only took me 15 years to stop doing that. To totally accept his wife. And he was so happy. And the first thing I thought is 15 years. Wow, lightning. Lightning fast. Wonderful. And I think he had this essential attitude, which was starting from a position of, I don't know what it is, but maybe I'll find out. Rather than, I know what it is, and I'm going to try to become what I think it is. You see? Whether it's love or enlightenment or whatever it is. In the West, we read the books, we hear the things, we listen to people, and we go, I got a good idea of what this is all about. That's the direction I'm heading in. I'm going to achieve that. When it's much more useful, the attitude that this gentleman had, which was, No, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's about. But maybe I'll find out. It's a totally different starting position. In his own way, he had discovered what all the spiritual teachers are talking about when they say, you have to get first to the place of the unknown.